All right, we're doing a Daf Yud Beis today. We're in the middle, but we'll pick up where we got. Anyway, so the question is, so Malacha Sheinit Tzricha L'Gufa. So Malacha Sheinit Tzricha L'Gufa is, if I'm doing a Malacha not for a purpose other than that was in the Mishkan. So here, again, with this pouch, so he's not doing Hotza'a to get the object from point A to point B. He's doing Hotza'a, he wants to prevent his clothes from getting dirtied up. And in the course of that, he's doing Hotza'a with the pouch. So according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, that's Chayev. Malacha Sheinit Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayev. According to Reb Shimon, Malacha Sheinit Tzricha L'Gufa is not Chayev. Not Chayev. So that's the way the Gemara explains the two braises. Okay, everybody unmute themselves and ask whatever questions you got. Anybody have any questions? Everybody good? Fern, you good? Robert, you good? Okay, good. Seth? All right. Aaron? All right. Good. Okay, Eddie, are you still there? Shia? All right. Good to see you. Good?
He's good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, let's keep going. All right. Now.
Okay, I have a question. I miss it's Ruth. Ruth's life.
Right.
The malacha involves the digging of the dirt, and if the malacha was related to the avodah and the mishkan.
Here's a su Ruth. Let's say I dig a hole. And I want the hole because I want the hole. So that's the malacha in the Mishkan. Let's say I dig the hole. I don't want the hole. I just want the dirt. So I'm doing the digging for a purpose other than in the Mishkan. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like the Gemara has the...
Yes.
Okay. Now the classic case, which the Gemara is going to have later on, let's say I want a dead body out of the house. So I want to have the body taken out because I don't want the body in the house. So is that Hotza'a or not? In other words, if the purpose is, I just want the body out of the house, that's not the purpose of Hotza'a. Hotza'a in the Mishkan was to get an object from point A to point B. I just don't want it here. So that's not the same thing. All right, let me go. Can you mute yourself now, Ruth, okay? Ruth, I need you to mute yourself now, okay? Mute. Good work. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Now, now the Gemara says, Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel, a brisa was taught in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, Yotzei Adam betfilin be'erev Shabbat of Chashecha, that on Friday afternoon a person can walk out wearing tefillin. He says, My taima came into Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Chayav Adam l'mashvesh betfilin kol Shabbos Shah, kavachom misitz. So the question is, on Shabbos, he shouldn't walk around with tefillin. If you say that, in other words, on Shabbos, tefillin could be muksa, and it might be considered hotza'a on Shabbos if he's walking around with the tefillin. So, but he can wear the tefillin, though, on Friday afternoon. We said certain things he can't do on Friday afternoon going into Shabbos. So why am I not afraid that he's going to leave the tefillin on going into Shabbos? So he says, it says that a person is obligated to constantly touch his tefillin. Kavachomer mitzitz, a kavachomer from the tzitz. The tzitz is this head plate that the Kohen Gadol would wear. It said Kodesh La Hashem on top of it. He says, Ma tzitz she'ein bo ela azkara achat. The tzitz just has one Shem Hashem on it. He says, Amra Torah v'yametzcho tamid. So the Torah says, there's a superfluous pasuk. The Torah told me already that it has to be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. And then it says Vayametzcho Tamid. It'll be always be on his forehead. So the Gemara learns from there, from the repetition, that it means that he can't be Mesiach Das from it. It always has to be on his mind. He can't forget about it. So he's got to keep touching the tzitz, so he remembers about it. He says, Tefillin Sheish Ben Azkarot Harbeh. So tefillin have many mentions of Shem Hashem in them. So he says, Alacha Kamakama. How much more so he has to constantly, touch the tefillin. So the Hilkach Mitka Dachir Lahu. So therefore, if a person is wearing tefillin and is behaving with the tefillin in the proper fashion, so then we anticipate that he... will remember the tefillin and not forget and walk around it. So he'll know. He'll take off the tefillin before Shabbos. You know, one of my rebbeim was Rabbi Yaakov Bobrovsky. Sometimes, let's say, a student would be patchkin around with something, and the student would say, I'm listening to the shiur, I'm just like playing with this thing, whatever he's playing with. So he was a Talmud of Rabbarach Ber Leibowitz. He may have quoted it from Rabbarach Ber. So he said that the Torah teaches us that, like, the Kohen Gadol had to touch the tzitz, so he would remember it. And we extend it out to tefillin. So he said that's a siman that what you're touching is what you have your kavana on. So if I'm playing around with something, that's where my intentions is focused on. So he would say, don't play around with it, you know, in shir. All right. So he says, so now the Gemara says, Tanya, Fanani Omer, Chayav Yom HaShemesh Mitzvah Be'erev Shoen HaShecha, that persons are obligated to feel through his clothes on Friday evening towards nightfall. He says, in other words, I have to feel up the clothes. Maybe there's something, like we would say, in our pockets. It's like folded in the clothes, so I have to make sure there's nothing in the clothes. I'm going to be walking out, and I don't want to do Hotzah on Shabbos. Am Rav Yosef Hilchta Rabti the Shabbat. So, and this line is on Bamei Madlikin we have every Friday night, and Rav Yosef says, like, it's an important halacha, he says an important rule for avoiding the violation of Shabbos, is what he said. All right, let me do a few more lines, then I'll pause, okay? He says, lo yifaled kilav v'chulei. Now, we said in the Mishnah that a person should not delouse his garments, and lo yikral or aner, and shouldn't read by the light of the candle. So we have to figure out, what is the problem of delousing? Is it that I shouldn't delouse by the candle, or is it a separate issur about delousing on Shabbos? So ibay luhu lo yifaled kilav bayom shema yarog. He says, the question is the Mishnah saying that I shouldn't delouse my garments? And that applies even during the daytime on Shabbos. In other words, because I don't want to kill a louse on Shabbos. He says, for Reb Lezer he, the Tanya, I'm Reb Lezer, ha-hore kina b'shabbat kilu ho-re gamal. Reb Lezer says, if a person kills a louse on Shabbos, it's like he killed a camel. In other words, camel is a big animal, and a louse is a very small creature. Now, one of the lametet malachot is shochet, but by extension is netilat neshama. If I take away the life of a being on Shabbos, so I violate one of the 39 labors of Shabbos, I'm a Chal Shabbos. So if I kill any animal on Shabbos, I kill an insect on Shabbos, I'm a Chal Shabbos on a Torah level. So we think that we'll see for reasons that we could say the louse might be in a different category. So is it that the Mishnah is saying the one halacha, I shouldn't delouse my garments on Shabbos because I can't kill the lice on Shabbos, so I shouldn't be doing this on Shabbos. And then lo yikra l'oraner is a different isur. He says, v'lo yikra l'oraner shema yateh. And then I shouldn't read by the light of the ner. Now the ner is the vessel that contains the oil with the wick. It's an oil lamp. In other words, the ner is like this lamp, and then in the ner is shemen and a petila. So I shouldn't read by the or haner because I might tilt it, and then I'll be chayim because mavi. That's one way to read the Mishnah. O Dilma Tarvayu Shemayate, or perhaps both of them, in other words, maybe delousing on Shabbos is not a problem of killing the louse, but it's a problem that Shemayate, I might come to cause, in other words, I shouldn't delouse by the light of the candle, and I shouldn't read by the light of the candle. They both need a lot of focus. That's the question. Okay, so we'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say that when it comes to lice, there's a question that you don't see them the way they reproduce. In other words, you can't see them lay eggs by the naked eye. So it might be that this is far to say, and we'll see Beit Hillel holds, you're allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. So we'll see different opinions. So he says, Tashma, Ein Polin Vein Korin L'Or Aner. So we're going to quote from the Braisa. The Braisa says, we don't delouse and we don't read by the light of the candle. So we think from that Braisa, the Tosos, one shot the Tosos has, is the Braisa is normally more expansive than the Mishnah. It's more verbose than the Mishnah. So if it would be that delousing was a separate Isur, I'd expect it to say more words. So since it says Lopolin in Korin Lor Aner, the implication is that I can't do either one of these objects by the light of the candle. So otherwise it's not a problem with delousing on Shabbos otherwise, it's just a problem that I might come to tilt the candle. So the Gemara says, why is that braisa stronger than the Mishnah? In other words, in the Mishnah also we mentioned two items, and we said we're mesupak on what the reason is that we can't delouse. So the Gemara is saying it's not muchrak from that braisa that it's one thing or two things. So Tashma, the Gemara quotes another braisa. The braisa says, "Ein polin l'or haner, ve'ein korin l'or haner." Eilam anachot shamru ba'aliyah Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. So the Braisa says we don't delouse by the light of the candle, and we don't read by the light of the candle, and those are from the halachot that were said in the attic of Hanani ben Chizkiya ben Garon, and we're going to have that shortly in our parak. So that Braisa is clear, crystal clear, that the problem of delousing is just delousing by the light of the candle. It's not killing the louse is not the problem. It's just doing it by the light of the candle. I might tip the candle, and I'll be chai because of mavir. So Shmamina, the Tarvayu Shemayate, Shmamina. So the Gemara says, from there it's clear that the both issue is just Shemayate, I might tilt over the candle. So Amar Rav Yudamar Shmuel, Afil Lahavchin, Bein Bigdo, the Bigdei Ishto. So Rav Yehuda says the name Shmuel, that even if I just want to use the light of the candle to distinguish between whether it's my clothes or her clothes, the woman's clothes or the man's clothes, so I'm not allowed to do that. And it was like Friday night, I want to see, oh, is this your clothes, my clothes, so I shouldn't do that by the light of the candle because I may come to tilt the candle. Amarav lo Amran ilo b'nei mechuzah. So Rava says it's only for the people who live in b'nei mechuzah. Their wife's clothes, their men's clothes, look similar to one another. So I need to really see carefully with the light of the candle. So I shouldn't do that on Friday night. About the b'nei chaklita made a yadi. The b'nei chaklita, the clothes are very different. It's like night and day. So that I could read by the light of the candle. I'm not afraid shemayateh. I'll just see some light. And I'll say, oh, that's hers. That's mine. It's pashut. And even by B'nai Mechuza, that we said that there's a prohibition that's only by older women. About the Ladot made the Yadid. Then the younger women, they wore very different clothes. And so the idea is, if the clothes are distinctly different, so then I could do it by the candlelight because I don't need a lot of Havchana to figure out which is which. But if it's less distinct, then there's a concern. I'll come to tilt the candle. Okay, I'll pause another 10 lines, okay? So Tan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Ein Polin B'Rishut Rabim Nei Akavot. We don't delouse a garment in the Rishut Rabim, and this is not talking about Shabbos, it means even during the week, because the Kavot is disgusting. You know, you're taking the louse, you're getting the lice out of the clothes, and nobody wants to see that. He says, Kiyotzebo, similarly, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amrila Rabbi Nechemia Ein Osein HaPiktaviz in B'Rishut Rabim Nei Akavot. We don't, like an emetic, something that causes somebody to throw up, you don't do the Rishut Rabim, it's disgusting, nobody wants to see that around. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, Hamafala Kelav Molel Bezorek Uvan Shlo Yaharog. Now, we're going to see the different shitot about killing the lice. So the Tana Kama says, if a person is delousing his garments, he can roll the lice and throw them, but he shouldn't kill them. So it's going to come out, the way Rashi says, the first Tana holds that on a Deraisa level, you're not chayev for killing lice on Shabbos, but Derabanan level, you're not allowed to kill them. On a Derabanan level, you can't kill. And obviously, we can understand that, you know, if I can kill a louse, I'll think I can kill, like, a cockroach, you know what I mean? And each one is different. Abba Sha'ul Omer, no tail bezorek uvan shlo yimlo. Abba Sha'ul says, I can just take the louse, I shouldn't even roll it, and he holds that on a Torah level, I can't kill the louse on Shabbos. Am Rav Huna says, halacha molel v'zorek v'zeu kvodo. Now, Rav Huna is not part of the Braisa. Rav Huna is an Amora. So the way Rashi understands it, Rav Huna is really following Beis Hillel, who we'll have shortly. Beis Hillel holds, I'm allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. But Rav Huna says, halacha molel v'zorek, a person can roll and throw it, meaning, like, that's the way to handle it, but he really holds that you're allowed to kill the louse on Shabbos. But feel b'chol, even during the week, that's the way you should do it. Rabba Miktalahu. Rabba would kill the lice on Shabbos. Rav Sheshet Miktalahu. Rav Sheshet would also kill the lice on Shabbos. Rabba Shari Luhu Lakana Demaya. Rabba would throw the lice in like this bucket of water. Obviously, he's killing them. Abluhu Rav Nechemia Lord Nachman Lebante. Rav Nachman says to his daughters, Ketulun Vashmina Li Kalasan Vati. Kill them, kill the lice, and let me hear the sound of my enemies. That's what he had to think with the lice. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, even in American culture, you see, like, these are real louse, you know, something like that. It's like, you know, the louse. Anyway, so he says here that Rav Nachman wanted to emphasize the halacha follows Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to kill the kinim on Shabbos. Okay, let's just see further. He says, Tanya. Now, here's the Braisa. Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, in Horgin and Ramah Cholub Shabbat, Dibrei Beit Shammai. Rav Shimon Lazar says, according to Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. That would be a malacha doraisa. He says, Ubeit Hillel Matirin. Beit Hillel is matir to kill the louse on Shabbos. Now, before I go on, so let's look at Rashi on this. So, where is the Rashi? So, he's got it. It's the fourth very wide line in Rashi downstairs. Matirin to parish tam perish shmona shratzim me'ilim ma'adamim de mishkan ma'ilim parim v'ravim av kol shapar v'rava. So in the Mishkan they they had these red rams that they shechted and they used the hides for you know, somebody's pashkin around my computer is getting me upset. Anyway, they used the hides to put on as part of the building in the Mishkan. So, but the point is, shechita is taught by an animal that reproduces. So the Gemara takes it. It lists the Rashi in this that he says part of Ravim, three lines to the bottom. Of course, part of Ravah, but Kina ain't a part of Ravah. So Rashi says that the kina, the louse, doesn't reproduce. It's like, you know, there used to be an idea of like spontaneous generation. So the machloket among the mafarshim how we take this. So one way to understand this, or one approach, is from the Michtav Me'Eliyahu. Michtav Me'Eliyahu says that if I can't see with my naked eye, so then, in other words, even though we know the lice do have nits, they have eggs, and they do reproduce, but if I can't see it with my naked eye, so it falls underneath the radar in halacha. So it has to be, in order to be chayav for netilas neshama, it has to be something that I can see that it reproduces. If I can't see it reproducing, so it's not halachically significant. It's similar, you could say, it's similar to what, like Ramosha has a tshuva about, let's say, water. Like you have microscopic organisms in water, right? So we're not concerned about the kashrut or the marken or microscopic organisms because we can't see it with our naked eye. And Ramosha has a tshuva. He says, like, let's say you have tefillin have to be exactly squared. So I can take instruments to see how squared it is. Do I have to go that far? Or if it looks square to my eyesight, is that sufficient? So Rav Moshe says, like, everything depends on the way you look at it. So that's one approach. The other approach, and he mentions it over here from this Pachad Yitzchak by, what does he have here? Yeah, he quotes Rav Yitzchak Lampranti. So the way I recall it is he said, this is a different approach. He wants to say that the halacha changes. That now we know, in other words, Chazal believed that they didn't reproduce. Now that we know they reproduce, you would be chayav for it. But the mainstream thinking is the first way. The first way I did it, and that's the way Michtam Eliyahu has it, that if I can't see it reproduce, so for halachic purposes, it doesn't reproduce, and I'm not chayav for killing the louse on Shabbos. All right? Let me just see one second. Alright, let me just do two more lines and then I'll break. Okay? I tell you what, let me break now. Okay, everybody on mute who wants to ask a question, who's got questions? Anybody?
Yeah, where did we learn something about a birya bifnei atzma? Was it with this?
Well, birya is a lot of different places in Shas. But birya has chashivas for beetle, you know, like if a whole creature is in a concoction, you know, like then there's no beetle for it because of birya.
Would a louse count for that, even though you can't see it reproduce?
I think so, because you can see the louse. This is talking about a different aspect of the louse, right?
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? Everybody good? Okay, so nice seeing everybody here. I'm sorry that we had so much difficulty. Ruth, did you want to say something? Everybody good? Okay. All
right. I don't see you. Does everyone see Rabbi Goldstein?
You don't see me?
Nope.
How do I get you to see me? Let me see.
I see Yosef, I see Seth, I see Aaron Gershon, I see Ruth, and
I don't see you either, Eric.
All right, one minute.
The bottom of the screen seems to be blocked off.
All right, one second. Share my screen.
I can see you, Rabbi. I see you.
Yeah, now we're back to where we were.
Okay, can you see me?
I have a question.
Wait, can you see me now?
No.
You still can't see me?
I can see you.
You could see me.
Right. Yeah, we can all see you. We can see you and we can hear you.
I can't see you.
I can't see you.
All right, I don't know. I'm not an expert on the on all the technology here with this. All right.
Eric, yeah, I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
If it's okay, the malacha is okay to kill the last because you can't see it reproducing, does that apply to any other animal or any other living thing?
Yeah, so
the rationale that you could kill it because you can't see it reproducing.
Yeah, I don't know of any other creature that it applies to, because the louse is something you can see the louse and you can't see it reproducing. I don't know if there's another creature that it applies to, but you know, all right. Any other questions? Everybody good? Okay, I got to keep moving. Okay, Seth. Okay, Ruth, don't forget you got to mute yourself now, Ruth. Okay, good. Okay, let's go back in the Gemara. So. All right, now we're the last narrow line. Now this is just another machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. He says, "Mishum Shmuel, a mishatkin tinokot la'areis." One second. Below it, hatinok lamdo sefer lamdo umanot. Beimenachem abeilu beimivachir b'chol mishabat dibre Beit Shammai. That according to Beit Shammai, there's a pasuk. It says, "Mso cheftzecha," that on Shabbos I can't engage in my normal weekday activities. It's a din d'rabbanan, or it might even be divrei kabbalah. It might even be a higher level than a plain din d'rabbanan. So here it says that I can't make a shidduch with, in other words, I can't arrange a shidduch for my child on Shabbos. He says, and I can't hire a malamed for my child on Shabbos, and I can't hire somebody to teach him a trade or a craft, because it says so chefzcha. Shabbos is not a time where I, you know, should be engaged in this sort of weekday type activities. And then separately, I'm not allowed to be menachem and avel, comfort and avel, and to visit a sick person on Shabbos according to Beit Shammai, because the person himself who's doing the visiting is going to get all miserable with it, so I can't do it. Beit Hillel matir, Beit Hillel is matir all of those. So Beit Hillel holds, it says, memso cheftzecha, but Chefzei Shemayim, in other words, these things are a mitzvah. So the first one's about like getting a teacher for my child. In other words, I'm obligated as a parent to have a malamed for my child. I'm obligated to teach him a trade or a craft. And then it's a mitzvah for me to make a shidduch for my child. So that's not, so in other words, Mimso Chefzcha is I'm doing my own business on Shabbos. But if it's Chefzei Shemayim, if it's a mitzvah, it's a higher goal, so I'm allowed to do that, according to Beit Hillel. And Beit Hillel holds that in terms of being Menachem Avel and Mevaker Chola, that in Hakinami, it causes me some distress, but since it's going to relieve the person, I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. We'll see in a minute. So Tanur Rabban on the third white line. Tanur Rabban, Nifnas Lavakir Nechola, if a person comes to visit a sick person on Shabbos, Omer Shabbati Nezok Rufag Krova Lavo. So he says, on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to have tchinos to Shabbos, to make supplications to a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos, unless it's like a very dire situation. So he says, so I say, Shabbatim Lazok, I say, it's Shabbos, we don't cry to Hashem on Shabbos, but your refuah is coming quickly. Remeir Omer, Yechola Hi Shetrachem. Remeir says you should say that the Shabbos can cause Rachmanis for you. In other words, that the Shabbos itself will have mercy, and he says here, bring recovery. So he quotes here in the art scroll that if the person is Maccabi the Shabbos, so he could bring refuah to him. So turn page to the top line. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMakom Yirachem Alecha Av Yad Chola Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says you should say that Hashem should have mercy on you and on the Chola Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer, HaMakom Yirachem Alecha B'toch Chola Yisrael. That Hashem should have mercy on you amongst all the sick of Israel. And the idea is, we had this earlier in Masechet Brachot, a person should always include himself with a whole group of people. That's more effective. Bakasha, he says, it's like when you remember the Tefillas Haderach, he's totally chen l'shalom. I'm making my own trip. I say you should guide us on this path. He says, Shevna Yishu Shalayim Bechlisato Omer Shalom. So Shevna Yishu Shalayim, when he would visit a sick person on Shabbos, he would say Shalom when he came. Ubitsiato Omer Shabbat Him Lezok Urfakro Lavo. He says, when he left, he would say, it's Shabbos, you shouldn't cry out, and the refu is coming quickly. V'rachamam Rubim, Hashem's mercy is great. b'shivtu b'shalom. You should rest in a state of shalom. So the Gemara says, k'man az lahad amar Reb Chanina, mishesh lo chola b'toch beito, sirich sharvenu b'toch chol Yisrael. According to whom is Reb Chanina going when he says that a person is a chola in his household, he should include him with other cholim in his tefilot. K'man k'Reb Yossi. It's like Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi said above that hamakom yirachem alecha b'toch chol Yisrael. V'amar Reb Chanina, with difficulty, they permitted someone to be menachem and avel on Shabbos and to be mevaker chola on Shabbos. So it means like this. So technically, I think people are somewhat under a misapprehension of the halacha on this. When a person is sitting Shiva, so people have this idea that Shabbos, they're not sitting Shiva. The Shabbos is a full-fledged day. It's part of the Shiva. And then people have the idea that, you know, there's no Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, but there is Nichum Avelim. So it's not, preferably not, but under some circumstances there might be a situation where you would do Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. And then when you Menachem and Avel on Shabbos, just like by the Rafu, you say Shabbat Him Lenachem V'Nechamah Krova Lavo. It's Shabbos. It's not really so appropriate to be Menachem, but your Nechama will come. In other words, that's the way that works with that. Okay, now let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. Abba Rabba Bar Bar Chana Ki Ahava Azlina and Batrei to Reb Lazar Shiuli B'Tficha. He says when we would follow the Reb Lazar to be Mevaker Chola, he says Zimni Amar Hamakom Yivkar Chola Shalom. Sometimes he would say Hashem should remember to the Chola. He would say Hashem should remember you L'Shalom. Zimni Amar Rachmani Yivkarinach L'Shalom. Sometimes he would say in Aramaic Hashem should remember you for Shalom. So the Gemara says Heiked Abed Hachi. How did he do this Tefillah in Aramaic? He says B'Ha'amar Rav Yehuda Li'olam Alishal Adam Shrachab L'Shon. Rabbi Yehuda says a person should never ask his bakashot in Aramaic. He says, "Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan kloshot shrachab l'shon arami emalachei shart nizkakim lo." That a person he frames his bakashot in Aramaic, the malachim are not involved with it. She'ain malachei sharit makirim l'shon arami. The malachei sharit don't know Aramaic. So either means they only know Hebrew, and even though Aramaic is similar to Hebrew, they don't know Aramaic because it's different than Hebrew, or they understand all the languages, but Aramaic, which is a corruption of Hebrew, so that they don't know from. So the Gemara says, Shem Malach Eshar Makim L'Shon Arami. So anyway, so the point is, how did Reb Lazar say this tefillah in Aramaic? So the Gemara says, Shani Chola the Shechina Imo. The Chola is different, because when you're visiting the Chola, the Shechina, God's divine presence, is right above the Chola. He says, the Amar Rav Anon, Amar Rav, Minayin Shechina Soedet HaChola. How do we know that the Shechina supports the Chola? Shneamar, Hashem Yisadenu Al Eretz Dabai. Hashem will support him on the sickbed. I'll explain in a minute. Tani nami hachi anichnas lebakir lechola lo yeshem lo gabi mita lo gabi kisei. When you're visiting the chola, the presumption is the chola is lying on the ground, so you, the visitor, shouldn't sit on a bed or a chair. Ela mitatef yoshev lufanav. You wrap yourself and you sit before the chola. It means that the Shechina, God's divine presence, is above the chola. He says, "V'nei Shechina l'malam mirav shetav shel chola." Shneamar, Hashem yisadenu l'eretz davai. Hashem will support him on his sick bed. V'amar Rava, Amar Ravin, minayin shekishbar huzan l'chola. How do we know Hashem that sustains the chola? Shneamar, Hashem yisadenu l'eretz davai. Hashem will support him on the sick bed. Okay, so let's break now. And who's got questions on what we did? Any questions? Everybody good?
So where is the visitor supposed to sit, and why the Shechina is above the chola?
Yeah, it means like this. Let's say the chola is lying flat on the ground. He's on the ground, and I'm sitting in a chair. So I'm sitting like level where the Shechina is, and the Shechina is hovering above the chola. So I'm like sitting.
You block.
Yeah, I'm like above it. It's like a gnai. But if I'm in a room and the chola is also in a bed, so then that's better, I think.
If the chola is lying down, where should you be?
Well, again, when you're making in other words, you're going to sit in a chair when you're speaking to the chola. You go into the hospital, he's in the bed, you're going to sit on a bed. Now you're going to say. So again, so we hear the Gemara is talking about the chola is lying on the ground. So I'm like sitting like on a level like above the Shechina. It's not Derech Kavod. But if the Chola is in a bed, so I think so the Shechina is above him, so it's better, I think. Do you understand?
No, because it sounds like you're supposed to lie down next to him.
No, it means like this.
Sounds like the king and I, you know, the head is not supposed to be higher than.
All right, one second. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, so if you look in footnote 9, this restriction applies only when he's lying on the ground or a low bed. If the visitor were to sit on a chair, he would be higher than the divine presence. In other words, the Shekhinah is above the Chola. If I'm sitting in this chair, I'm above the Shekhinah. So it's not conceptually, it's not the right way to be. But if the Chola is in the bed, the Shekhinah is on top of him. So then I could sit in the chair. I'm not sitting above the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is above both of us. Fern, is that okay? Fern? Fern, are you okay?
I didn't hear part of it, but okay. I'll read footnote 9. Thank you.
All right, in other words,
I couldn't hear you. You broke up.
Okay, can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yes, now I can hear you.
Oh, okay. So again, so it means
yes.
So it means that when the person's lying on the ground, the Shekhinah is hovering right over the person. The Shekhinah. Well, you can't.
So where's the visitor supposed to go?
So the visitor should not be sitting on a chair. It's like not Derech Kavod. He should stand up. But if the sick person's in a bed, the Shekhinah is above like both of us. You know what I'm saying?
But if I stand up, I'm taller than if I sit down. Yeah, so that's what I don't understand.
In other words, the key is I shouldn't be sitting on a higher level than the Shekhinah. I shouldn't be sitting is like a lack of kavod and like a position. So
okay.
So the Shekhinah is like.
But does the word sitting below him mean like sitting at his feet, below his head?
No. Again, the sick person is lying on the floor. Sick person's lying
on the floor.
He's on the floor. So I, the visitor, should not be in a chair. Because if I'm in a chair, I'm sitting above the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is like hovering above the head of the Chola. That's the best I have with that. Okay, I'm going to move on. Everybody good? Any other questions?
Thanks.
All right, I did the best I could. Okay, let's take a look. Now, V'lo yikra l'or aner. Now, we said that on Shabbos, a person shouldn't read by the light of a candle. So again, it means they had oil lamps. So Ner is the lamp. I shouldn't read to the oil lamp on a Friday night because I might come to take the lamp, tilt it over to get a better flame, and I'll be chai from Avir. So I'm a rabba, afilu gavoa shtei komot, afilu shtei mardot, afilu asra batim zu gavzu. So rabba says, even if the lamp is two stories above me, or it's like two ox goads above me, or even 10 houses above me, meaning it's impossible for me to adjust it. Nevertheless, it's a low plug. Low plug means we're having one rule, we're not making distinctions. He says, so the Gemara says, Chad hu lo likri, hatrei shapir dami. So the Gemara says the implication of the Mishnah that if I'm by myself, I shouldn't read by the candle, lo yikras, lashon yachid. But if there would be two of us learning, or we're doing, so then I could, because one of us will catch it, and then it won't happen. So v'hatanya, but another brisa says, lo achad v'lo shnayim. One brisa says, you shouldn't read by the candle, neither one person nor two people. So amr blaza, lo kasha, kam b'inyan achad, kam b'shnei inyanim. It depends. If we're learning together, let's say we're studying the same sefer together. So if I'm about to grab the candle, you'll say, wait, what are you doing? But if you're doing your piece, I'm doing my piece, we're like two different people doing different topics, so then we have a problem, even though we're both reading by the candle, but I might come to take the candle and you wouldn't catch me, and vice versa. All right, I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, if it's a Madura, Madura is a big bonfire, so even if there are 10 people around, you can't read by the light, because Rashi takes, the bonfire is very large, so one person's here, one person's there, nobody's watching what the other person's doing, and then you have all these small embers, and I might take the small ember and tilt that over. Amar Rava, Im Adam Chashuv Hu Mutar. Rava says, if the person who's reading by the light of the candle is an Adam Chashuv, an important person, so he's allowed to do it. It means an important person wouldn't occupy himself with tilting over the candle. He's like, during the week, he wouldn't tilt over the candle. He's Chashuv, his servants to do that. He says, or it's like beneath his dignity to do it. Meifei, on this we ask a question. So we said an important person wouldn't tilt it over. So now we ask a question from the Braisa. Meifei, lo yikra lor ner shema yateh. So the Braisa says a person shouldn't read by the light of the candle because he might come to tilt it. He says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, ani yikra b'lo ateh. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, I'll tilt it over, I'll read, and I won't tilt it over. I know what the score is. So once he was reading and he nearly tilted over the candle, Amar Kamakidolim Divrei Chachamim Shu Omrim Lo Yikra Lo'or Haner. He says, how great are the words of the Chachamim who said a person shouldn't read by the candlelight. So there's a Vilna Gaon on this. Vilna Gaon says that in the Mishnah it says Lo Yikra Lo'or Haner. Don't read by the candlelight, and it doesn't give a reason for it. In the Braisa it says Lo Yikra Lo'or Haner. You shouldn't read by the candlelight because you might come to tilt it. So Rabbi Shmuel said, oh, like, it means once you know the reason for things, once people know reasons, so then they come up with ways to get out of the reasons. So Rabbi Shmuel, so he said, so he's working with the assumption that, you know, you can't read by the candlelight because you may come to tilt it. I know the halakha, I won't come to tilt it, and then he nearly tilted it. But after that occurred, he said, how great are the words of the Chachamim that they said in the Mishnah, lo yikra lo'or haner. Didn't give a reason. Just don't read by the candlelight. And that's the better approach with that. Now, let's just see further. He says, three lines before it gets wide, Rabbi Natan Omer Kara Vahita. So Rabbi Natan said that no, it's not that he nearly tilted it. He actually ended up tilting it and doing Mavir on Shabbos. He says, V'katavo Pinkaso, and he wrote in his notebook, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, Kariti v'hiteti ner b'Shabbat. Yishmael ben Elisha, I read and I tilted over a candle, a lamp on Shabbos. Shebenei b'de mikdash, Abi Chatat Shmeina. When the base of Mikdash is rebuilt, I'll bring a fat Chatat. I'll bring a fat Chatat. Now, so the point is, though, we said that if you were an Adam Chashuv, you could read by the candlelight, because you won't come to tilt it. And yet here, we see that the Shemesh from Elisha, like Badavka, he shouldn't have read by the candlelight. So, Amar Rabab, Shani Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Elisha, Hoil, Misimatmol, Dere Torah, Ked Yod. In other words, he was an important person, but he was very self-effacing, and he comported himself like a simple person, so he runs into the problem. You're an important person, you don't tilt candles, but he behaved like a more simple person. He didn't do anything with the kavod. Now, there's a now Tosfos brings up an issue. Tosfos says there's a gemara that says hash to behemten shel tzaddikim and a kadosh baruch hu b'vita kali adam tzaddikim atzman lo kol shekein. That the animals of tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow them to, have a takala, have like an obstacle to their shmiras mitzvot. And so the tzaddikim themselves, how much more so? The Gemara says, it's the Gemara in Chulin, remember with the Chamorosh or Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, so it wouldn't even eat the untithed produce, even though it's a donkey and it could it could technically be allowed to eat it, but even the donkey didn't eat it. So the tzaddikim themselves, Hashem watches that they don't do anything wrong. So Tosa says, how is it that Rabbi Shmuel and Elisha nearly tilted over this candle when the Hashem is watching out for the tzaddikim that nothing bad should happen to them? So Tosa says that when it says that Hashem watches out for them, it just watches out for achilas isur. In other words, Hashem watches, they won't eat anything that's prohibited to be eaten. In other words, like, they won't chas v'shalom eat treifus or something that's not proper hechsher. Hashem is watching out for them. Now, there's a question on this. It's brought down here. This is in Sefer Yitzhuri Torah. There's the Ari says, Hanizhar b'mashu chametz b'pesach b'uptoth lo shloichata kol hashana. If a person is careful not to have a mashu of chametz on Pesach, and a small amount of chametz on Pesach, he can rest assured that he won't sin the whole year. So now there's a question. The question is, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha presumably was careful not to eat any chametz on Pesach. And once you can't eat chametz on Pesach, so you rest assured that you won't sin the whole year. So then how did he end up sinning with that second version with this lamp? Everybody got the question? Everybody following the question I said or not?
No, I didn't get the question.
All right, let me repeat again, okay? So we just went over the Tosos. Tosos says Hashem watches the tzaddikim that they shouldn't eat any isurim, right?
Okay. Yes.
So he said, because how could Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha have done this sin? Hashem watches out for the tzaddikim. So Tosos says he just watches out for them that they don't eat any isur. But the Ari says, if a person is nizhar, he's careful. Yeah, you have to mute yourself again, Yosef. If a person is nizhar not to have a mashu of chametz, on Pesach he can rest assured he won't sin the whole year. You got it? Okay. So if you have to speak, okay. So if he's careful not to have a mashu of chametz. So, and that's what Tosfos says. Hashem is watching out for the tzaddikim that they won't eat isurim. So then, hadar kushu the dukta. The question's back at ground zero. How did he end up sitting with the lamp? The Ari says, Tosfos says, Hashem watches the tzaddikim, they won't eat isurim. And then the Ari says, if you're careful not to have a mashub chametz, so you won't sin. So how did Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha end up sinning? Yosef, do you have that or not? He's like,
yes, got it.
Okay. So the answer was given by Rabbi Akiva Eger when he was 6 years old. He says that that Hashem watches the tzaddikim from achilas isur, from eating of isur, meaning they won't eat a kezias of isur, but he doesn't guard them from having a mashahu. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha may have had a mashahu, and then that's what did him in. Okay, let me go on. Let me see further. Now, okay, we're on the second wide line on Yud Alpha Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, Tani Chada Shamash Bodei Koso to Ka'aro Lo'aner. We learn one brisa that a shamash, like a servant, an attendant, he's allowed to check the cups and the plates by the light of the candle to see if they're dirty. V'tani Idach Lo Yivdok. And another brisa we learn he should not check it by the light of the candle. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kama shamash kavua, kama shamash enu kavua. If it's the shamash kavua, the regular attendant, so, like, he's afraid that the master will be after him, so he should not check the plate and the candle and the things by the light of the candle, because he's very punctilious to see, is there any, dirt or there. So he should not do it. He says, but the shamash, who's not the regular attendant, not the regular waiter, he's not so fearful of the master or whatever. He could check by the light of the candle. He won't forget, and he won't end up, tilting it because he's not so focused on it all. He says, that's one answer. Or else I could say that both Bryces are talking about the regular attendant or waiter. Velokasha, haba de mishka, haba de nefta. One is talking about where it's oil, so if it's an oil lamp, then I have to be afraid of tipping it over. He says, hab in the nefta. Nefta, the way Rashi takes it, nefta means naphtha. Maybe one of you will help me filling in with this, but I think it would be more similar to kerosene. In other words, but the thing is, it says that Rashi says it's very stinky. Does anybody know, is kerosene smelly or whatever? It does have an odor, I think, kerosene.
Yes, it's very smelly.
Yeah. Okay.
Very pungent smell.
Okay, so if it's a kerosene lamp, he could, because it smells so much. In other words, the idea is he's a firm person, but he might forget himself. But if something really smelly, it'll bring him to his senses, and he'll realize what's going on. Now, so the post can talk about, in more recent years, when I say more recent years, in the 19th century, so people would read by the kerosene lamps on Shabbos. And so one reason the Gemara says it stinks, and so that's a heter, but another reason that I saw is that the oil lamps is it's not so consistent. In other words, it flickers, it goes back, forth, so there's a chance I might lean it over so I'll get a better light. The kerosene lamps, they burn more consistently, the consistent light, so less likely that I would come to put it on. Now, there's there was one instance, I don't remember exactly which lamp, it was something that the Chafetz Chaim at Paschim that you could read by the candlelight on Shabbos, and the way I remember the story is that somebody found the Chafetz Chaim on a Friday night reading by that lamp, but he had his hands were wrapped up, you know, like with a wrap around it, and I think he may have had a sign in front of it saying, like, Shabbos Kodesh. So even though he had Paschim that you could read by that lamp, he had other, you know, security measures in place to make sure that he would not, you know, tilt or otherwise adjust the lamp. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. All right, now the fourth wide line. Yibaylehu shama she'inu kavua b'demishcha mahu. Now, Tosos, there's different ways to learn this sugya, but Tosos takes it that it's going with the last lashon. So last lashon was, we said, that they're both talking about a shamash kavua. So if you do the last version, both brises about whether you could, you know, examine the plates and the cups by the light. We're working with the permanent waiter, but one was talking about the oil lamp, and one was talking about the naphtha or the kerosene lamp. He says, now ibailahu shamash inu kavua b'demishkamahu. So now the Gemara asks, assuming that, in other words, leave out the first lashon, but going with the second lashon, so the Gemara is asking, let's say I have a shamash eino kavua, I don't have not the permanent waiter. So, b'mishka mahu. So in other words, I have one aggravating factor that is an oil lamp, but I have one mitigating factor that he's not like the regular waiter. The regular waiter, he's not so concerned about that the plates will be so clean. He's not so for sitter, not so worried about the master. So he says, mahu. So I'm a Rav, halacha vein morin king. So Rav says the halacha is that he could examine the plates and the cups by the light of the candle, he says, with oil. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abamar, so it's halacha, but we don't rule publicly that way. In other words, he could, but we wouldn't publicly make a ruling. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abamar, halacha morin king. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba says it's halacha, and we would publicize it. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, so Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is Mekil. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, ikla lebe Ravasi. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba came to the house of Ravasi, kam shamei. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba is the guest. So his servant got up, kabadik lenuhura dishraga. He inspected the plates and the cups by the light of the candle. So he's following Rabbi Yerubah's ruling. So Amarle debitu. So the wife of the host, the wife of Ravasi, said to Ravasi, Umar lo abid hachi. He says, you don't. That's not the way you paskin. Like here, his servant is coming into our home and he's inspecting, you know, plates and cups by the light of the candle. But you, the head of the household, you don't paskin that way. So Amar La Shavke Karabi Svirlay. So he said, leave him, he's doing like his Rebbe. Rabbi Rabba has a Mekel Shita, he's doing it that way. Alright, I think that's going to be it for tonight. I'm sorry that we had difficulty in the beginning. I don't know, I had difficulty getting on to this whole program. I had to download another program for it. But it was wonderful seeing all of you. Everybody unmute themselves now and can say goodbye to everybody. Let's all unmute. Unmute, everyone. Yeah. Wait, hang up. Let me schmooze
around it. Can I ask the question?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Right. Since everybody's sort of homebound, would you consider giving a daf on Friday?
Yeah, it's
hello?
Yeah, I hear you. It's a lot of work to prepare the daf.
It's up to you. I'm just saying, no one's going anywhere.
Right. I didn't hear you.
He was Robert. Okay, now everybody mute again. Robert, mute. Okay, I can't hear anybody because we've got to mute. Robert was suggesting that I give the daf on Friday. I give a daf on Friday, but it's a lot of work to prepare the daf. Are people interested? Who would be interested in having a daf on Friday?
Maybe.
What time are you thinking?
Well, what time? I tell you, it's very difficult because I prepare the daf, like, it takes me like the whole day, and then from Thursday, and then I probably have to do it Friday morning. Anyway, but I hear the suggestion. All right. Anyway, let's go. Let's unmute again. Unmute. I want to hear everybody. Let's hear all the noise. Everybody unmute. Unmute. Good. Okay. Wonderful. Now, it's so nice seeing everybody. It's so lonely around this place here. Nice seeing you.
I would do a daf on Friday together. I think that's nice.
Friday instead of Thursday night, or in addition to? No, because
everybody's home, so I just thought if we're all home anyway, what difference is it?
Anyway, so that's it. Where's Yosef? Is Yosef here? Yeah, Yosef. Listen, Yosef, will you be here tomorrow night, or tomorrow is your Chas Yitzchak? Yosef's son is having a bris on Friday. So, Yosef?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What's the Shabbos? Bob Zausman. What's the Shabbos? Because Rabbi always does it on Shabbos anyway.
What?
Used to do it on Shabbos Friday.
I know. But this is what I'm going to prepare. This is the thing. Anyway, the. Anyway, Yosef. So.
He's talking about switching Friday for Shabbos.
Will you
can't do this on Shabbos. You can't go on your computer.
I got it.
No, Motzei Shabbos.
Yeah, anyway.
Motzei Shabbos is a different issue.
All right. Yosef.
I would be game for that. I could do that.
Which, Motzei Shabbos?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Instead of Friday, Fern?
All right. Anyway, Yosef, will you be here tomorrow night?
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, Bishop Mazel Tov, we don't see Yosef. Do you sleep in a bed at night, or you sleep in the car?
Sleep in a bed.
So what
is he doing in the car?
He went
in the trunk.
His wife just gave birth. Anyway,
Mazel Tov.
When do you get to go into the house?
In about a month.
Hey, Sof.
All right.
Well, there you are. Now I see you.
Bye, everybody.
All right.
Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Mayor, how's Saul doing? Wait, what are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm going to call you, but listen, he's still in the hospital, and Baruch Hashem, they're treating him beautifully.
I'm glad to hear it. And how are you doing, Mayor?
Well, I'm hanging in there.
All right, nice seeing you.
Rabbi, you know what, I'll call you on your cell phone in a minute.
All right, make it the landline, okay? Okay.
Okay, the landline.
Okay.
Take care.
I'll see you all. Bye-bye, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
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 Bye.